The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Believe it or not, today is 9th of June, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Also, too, Steven Santangelo is on here every month. Unleash your strength and relentless metabolic endurance through 100%. Pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period. SANTANGELO, period, 75. Don't forget, too, AtomicAthletic.com. Roger is running the Bull Moose Rotating Thick Bar on sale this month till the 13th of June. You get it right now. It's regularly $329. It's on sale for $269. Even this bar is 84 7/16 in length, and it's 58 pounds. I got one here at the house, and it is brutal. So go out to AtomicAthletic.com. Tell Roger we sent you. Also, too, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's a free ebook on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, strength times power equals success, and the winner's circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. As I tell everybody, I'm looking out the window from my office. The laboratory is right behind me. We do everything we put on anything with digital media, and no one writes our content, and I'm very proud of that. Well, today, we have a good friend of the show. We got Clinton Darden on, and today's been an interesting day, because all I've done is shows that are international, and we did one with Adrian O'Brien from Ireland for the first time, and we've got Clint on from Cyprus, Greece, and I'm going to give you a little information on Clint. Number one, he's a strongman, Olympic lifter, trainer, stone lifter, and obviously if you've ever seen him out on the House of Biceps, it's great stuff, man. He's out on Facebook, and he does that, and I'll say this, I'm not going to get into a lot of specifics, but I admire this guy greatly for some of the stuff he is dealing with, man. And you see him out there still pulling those big Atlas stones and still sticking one foot in front of the other. And if you could ever take a lesson in strength of mind and body, this gentleman will deliver. I have no qualms about that at all. And before I bring Clint in, we're going to talk about a real interesting subject, and it's called Drop the Hammer. Clint, welcome to the show, brother.
Oh, always glad to be here, man.
Always glad to have you. Anything I missed about you, websites, anything you're up to where we could get people coming your way, give it all to us, sir.
Just Google, man. You can find out almost everything there is to know about me just through Google. Just type my name in. I'm Clint Darden on Instagram, Twitter, EliteFTS.com, Facebook. Always easy to find. I think I probably do have the longest beard out of all your guests. So you might have left that out.
You definitely do. There's no doubt on that. But you know something? That's a good thing. We need some differences here. I don't know how many guys got beards on this show, to be honest with you. I don't. I couldn't grow a full beard if my life – to think I'm Italian and I can't get a full beard yet. You know what I mean?
Yep. I always said that if you wanted to be strong, you had to grow a beard. And then somebody pointed out, well, what about Ed Cohn?
That's true.
Ed Cohn wears his beard on the inside. I mean, it's still there. It's just absolutely Undercover like 007.
Absolutely. That's a definite good point. Drop the hammer. We've been talking for a while here offline, and I was saying to Clint, I was like, you know, we all go through different degrees of where our training is up and down. We could have consecutive workouts that just are not working. You know, we could be getting ready for something and suddenly, you know, it just seems like the bottom's dropping out. And the biggest thing is we start failing on a mental aspect, because any of us who know who train and love what we do here, mentally, when we start snapping, that's big trouble for us. And at that point, we've got to answer a few big questions. And that's why I called the show Drop the Hammer. Now, Clint, obviously you've been around a while with training. You've probably been through a good amount of ups and downs, highs and lows. How would you define, you know, well, with Drop the Hammer, which is real interesting, what we got to do to get ourselves back. And sometimes it's got to be pretty damn rough. But when you're in that mode when things are just not going right, and we know failure is a big word that's involved with weightlifting because the degree of this stuff is very, very hard. How do you know at that point what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to try to guess it out? You're going to change the routine? How would you handle something like that?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is you got to be honest with yourself. I've been through when I first switched over like to fighting, I was the worst fighter in my division. And then several years later, I was ranked number two in the country, and I beat the number one guy a couple of times. When I began strongman, I took dead last at a local competition in Tennessee. And then I was the first American to turn pro at a pro-am show. And I competed against World's Strongest Man competitors. So, you know, I think and going for, you know, in the sport of strongman, I went through, okay, I've taken it as far as I can go. You know, this is, this, you know, I'm not making progress anymore. Well, then the answer is doing what everybody else is doing, and that was drugs. So I go down that route, and then I take that as far as it goes, and the answer is more and more and more. And then at a certain point, you know, even that hits you that, wait a minute, I'm still not I'm not progressing anymore.
Yep.
And you've got to be honest with yourself. Hey, you know, this isn't the answer. And you step back, and you keep stepping back until you see the whole picture. You know, it's for, when it comes to strength sports, and you can probably apply this to everything in life, everything is either mental, physical, or technical. So if you're missing a lift, it all comes down to either a mental issue, a physical issue, or a technical issue. So, you know, the mental side of it is completely on a complete different field of its own. The physical side is just get stronger. You know, you're just not strong enough. And then you've got to find a solution of what am I going to do to get, you know, just brute strong. And then there's a technical side of it. How am I going to fix my technique? You know, even when I was a fighter, there came a certain point where I just had to technically get better. And I had to technically get faster in order to win fights. The same thing with strongman, with powerlifting, with weightlifting, with stone lifting. At a certain point, you've got to back up and say, you know, I've got to get mentally better. I've got to get over this mental barrier that's in my head. I've got to find a way to get stronger, and I've got to find a way to get technically better. And, you know, you've got to attack it from every direction. You know, you've got to sit down and analyze everything that has worked in the past, what hasn't worked in the past, and put it together mentally, physically, and technically. And don't be afraid to go ask somebody. People are amazed all the time when they look at me and my job is a coach. People, you know, people are amazed that I have coaches that I'm every day, 10 times a day, I'm asking people advice. I had a big time coach, a big name powerlifter, send me a message this morning. You know, they hit a huge bench press, but you know, their goal is 50 pounds after that. And I said, hey man, watch this video and tell me what you see. I'm like, dude, you can bench press 300 pounds more than me. You know, like, but I want your eyes on this. And what would you do to get better? So, you know, just never stop searching. You know, just realize that it all is mental, physical, or technical, and never stop till you figure out a way to achieve, you know, success in each one of those.
It all starts
with honesty. You've got to be honest with yourself. You know, you can't say, well, it's because I need more supplements or more protein powder or more sleep or drugs or, you know, whatever. You've got to be, you know, brutally honest with yourself. And, you know, the answer is rarely work less.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And, you know, the thing, too, is we've talked about this on numerous shows. I mean, everybody's on who's on here, I always learn something from them because
absolutely.
And you know what the nice thing is about all this is this. We are passing on information that you couldn't find this stuff in a book. You look at the library here of this show. This show is like it's a gold rush, literally. I mean, you're listening to the best of the best out there that are giving of themselves, and they want to help everybody. But I'll tell you this. When we talk about dropping the hammer, I'm going to use myself right now as the guinea pig, so to speak. We're always going in and out of something, whether it's a pull, a tear, a bad breakup it can be, the weights are not hitting right, you know, I got a crap attitude, work's been crap all day, and you're carrying around a lot of stuff. And the thing that I've really accomplished this is, no matter what's happened, I can wrap myself around that stuff and start. Now, when things aren't going good, like you said, you got to take a step back and start analyzing things. And you know something? Let's face it, everybody, and myself included, it's very hard to be brutally honest with yourself at times because you don't want to admit that, hey, you know what? There's something up with my squat. Who am I going to talk to about this? Or like if I sent you video, evaluate that, Clint. Tell me and be brutally honest with me. And you know something? A lot of people don't want to hear honesty. But man, oh, man, if you want to progress in anything you do in your life, you're going to not only have to take criticism, and I'm talking positive criticism. I'm not talking about someone that just wants to put your ass down for the sake of it. But you got to be critiqued, and you got to be able to take it, and you've got to decide right then and there, what am I going to do about this? Now, a lot of people will deload. A lot of people will take time off. Now, I used to deload. I don't do it anymore. If I feel I'm at that point where I've literally hit the wall, and no matter how I'm trying to think, no matter what my diet is for the week, no matter whatever I'm doing outside of the business in the gym and nothing's changing, then I know it's time to take some time off. Now, this is very interesting what I discovered. I probably took a week off about 3 months ago. I think it came to like 9 days. Within 4 days, by the four and a half of the 9 days, I was starting to chomp, man, and that meaning that I wanted to get back.
Right.
It's all I could start thinking about. I got to get back. What am I going to do this time? What lift do I need to improve? How can I get faster with that stone? And this is the biggest thing, and you hit this right on the head. How am I going to make myself mentally bulletproof?
Right.
How? What am I going to do? What am I going to read something? Am I going to listen to stuff outside of the gym where it's positive energy? Am I going to say things to myself the minute I wake up? Because we all know the best time to do any type of memorizing or listening to anything that you feel is going to direct you in a way that's going to make you achieve much bigger is to listen the first minute, when you get up out of bed, throw your headphones on or read that paragraph that's going to really resonate all day with you. We all know that there's phrases like when I get up in the morning, there's things I listen to. I read a little paragraph that's got the meaning of what I want for my life. Then I go downstairs, and one of the greatest things you can ever say to yourself in the mirror when you're shaving or washing your face up, just keep staring into the mirror. You can say anything you want, but what I say is health, wealth, success. Repeat that until you're done. Try to stay 5 minutes in the mirror in the morning and do it 5 minutes in the mirror before you go to bed. Because what you're doing is you're putting this positive flow, and anybody who doesn't believe what you give out doesn't come back to you, doesn't understand how the real world works. Now, and I've said this to Clint before, and I'll let you comment on this in 1 second. You know, what you're putting out there is coming back to you. I can prove it because there's many times I was putting out a lot of things with the business, and it's funny. It's no coincidence. Suddenly I was talking to somebody about something with it, or suddenly I was getting an email, or suddenly, you know, I'd get a Clint Darden on the show with me, and he and I would click right away, and we'd be talking about business, or we'd be talking about lifting, or it'd be like before we came on, I was telling him some of the stuff with the barrels and things that he did, he's doing that he never would have done 10 years ago. He thought it was off the wall. Well, I got news for you. All these things that are happening around us all go with this drop the hammer theme we're talking about, because a lot of things are happening around you. Just because you don't see the end result yet does not mean it's there. So when I come back, obviously I want to be mentally fit more so than ever. I want to be able to take more. And by that, I mean I want to be able to take the hardest beating life can deliver to me with those stones and that steel. And then I want to take it and drive it back another 25 yards, okay? So that's my mentality. But I've also done this too before, and I've had success with it. When I've been feeling like, man, I'm like, you know, I just don't know right now. I mean, I don't even know if I want to walk out here two nights from now. But I always, I think this is my mentality and my personality, and I think most of us who are on the show have the same degree of that, maybe more so. I always return because I feel I have an obligation to myself and what I'm doing out there and what I'm practicing for. But I've also taken one movement, and I've done one movement for one straight month. And people say, well, aren't you afraid of losing? Well, if you restart your squats from dead stop the way I do, and say you get back up to a nice, easy 500-pound dead stop, what have you lost? I mean, Paul Anderson made a living on that in the beginning. You go out and pull the biggest deadlifts of your life. What are you losing? More muscle? Not, but you're gaining more than ever, and you're recovering. And then my favorite thing, I love doing dead stop anything overhead. Barbell, dumbbell, you name it. I just love when you brace that one hand against the power rack and I stick my hand through the middle of the contraption we built for any dumbbell, and you press that son of a bitch, man, over your head, and you're like, yeah, like that with it, and you put the thing down and you walk out. Well, let me tell you, you do that for a month and you know how to regulate your weights and you're only training that maybe once or twice a week, and let me tell you something, I've come back like lightning. Started back slowly after that with everything I was doing, but I had gained, man, I gained body weight. I was sleeping good again. I could deal with people, not get all bent out of shape over nothing, man. Go ahead, Clint. I mean,
honestly, I think you've hit a couple of huge points, and that you over time, you have managed to do two very successful things that most people won't, and this is why they will fail in the gym, because there are two things that they have not done that you have. And that's one, have faith, and faith is it's like having belief in something that you cannot see. It doesn't matter what you want to talk about. I mean, it's the big reason why paid by the hour jobs are so successful, and why so many people want the paid by the hour jobs. Because yep. I go and work 1 hour, I get paid right then. I know exactly how much I made. But the jobs that end up paying a ton of money are the ones that are determined by how hard you work. You're going to go out there and bust your tail on faith that the money is coming. You know, all you have to do is put in the work, and the money, it will come if you work hard. And your training is the same way. You're out there busting your hump, doing what everybody else looks at as not making progress, but you're doing it under a faith system that the progress is coming. You know, if you can have faith in your program to stick with it, no matter what, that the progress is coming, the paycheck is on the way, but you got to have faith even though you don't see it, and you got to stick with it. The second thing that you managed to do is have a split personality, which has made it's made your life very successful. Now, you can't skip the gym because you feel you owe that time to something. Well, you do. You owe that to your split personality, that second personality that comes alive when you're in the gym. And being able to separate and to split that personality is what keeps you sane in your daily life, because you've got this a whole other person. You've got this whole other Eric. I don't know what his name is, but he gets to go out and be a superhero, you know, in his garage, you know. And then the other Eric has to come inside and be a nice guy in public, and he has to be friendly at the store, you know, and talk to people. You know, and look nice and smell nice, but then your split personality gets to go out to the gym and literally be a superhero, whatever you want to create. And I think, you know, people, you know, we need that. We need to learn how to be a superhero, We need to learn how to be the cleanup guy that looks nice and presentable to the public. And we've got to have faith, you know. And that's it. I think those two things keep us sane.
And I agree with you. And, you know, I'll tell you something else, too. I think we've said this before, and most people don't get it. You know, I look at things in this context because, you know, I always say it on the show. You know, be a steward of strength, you know, and people are always watching you. And there's a lot of truth to that because I'll tell you this right now. You know, we know the world is full of cameras and every other thing. It seems like someone's always watching you. And I've always been, especially now with the businesses, can't be perfect 100% of the time, but you better be damn close to it because someone's always looking at you. It could be a kid. It could be an adult. And when you're saying, like, when you're out in the real world, obviously you want to look pretty good. You want to show that you've got more than muscle. And I find this a lot. You know, I'll go out publicly. You know, I might go to a restaurant or go to a pub that's close to the house or whatever. And, you know, people immediately, if they want a straight conversation, they're going to ask if you lift weights. That, I mean, I wish I had a dollar for every time. I'd be really rich right now.
Right.
And I understand that, though, because perception is perception is perception. There's a lot of good people out there, but there's a lot of a-holes, just like in any field we deal with. And the thing right now is when you meet up with people, I want people to know how important it is to be a weightlifter and what you can achieve with this and what you can do and all these aspects that we talk about, how imperative they are to learn to adopt and bring into your private life because you can be so much better than you ever thought. And anyone that has told you, you know, you're nothing, you're never going to amount to anything, let me tell you, this is like a hard turtle shell in here or a bulletproof vest. What ends up happening is you create your own world. Like you said, Eric with a split personality because you become so enamored in these two different ways of life that not only do they intersect with each other, but they can also take the fork in the road and leave one another. There's nothing like this. And I when I go out and people ask me about it or what you do, you know what? Unless I'm in a rush, I will sit down and give them the time because, as you well know, I'm a talker. I love talking. I love spreading all this stuff. I love spreading the mental energy. And I'm telling you right now, you'd be surprised. They might have been kind of like stone-faced when they met you, but when you leave, they're all smiles from ear to ear. You can impart that on somebody that and you got it too. I mean, that's a damn gift, man. And it's like, you know something? You and I are out there, whether we're outside or we're in our garage, and we are literally getting the snot beat out of us. I mean, I think I told you on one show, if I didn't, and I know you've done it. We've been doing it so long. I was so pissed. One night, everything was going wrong with the squats, man. And this was before I switched over to the new ones. You know, I had power like crazy. I just couldn't get this thing to come straight. It was like one side would come up. Then I'd have to drop it and come back up. But they were never – it was like I lost the whole rhythm of my squat. And, you lost that whole – I can't think of the word I used, but it's like, oh, the pathway. The whole pathway was gone.
Right.
And I was like, what the hell is going on tonight, man? You know, it's not like I changed my shoes or I had a new pair of underwear on. There was nothing. I couldn't understand it, right? Had the music on, you know. I had all the shit going. So – I go to load another 45 in there because I just get pissed more and more. And you know when you slam that thing fast and it catches like the fat part of your hand?
Oh, God. That's dude, hell, man.
Dude, I bet you could have hear me scream like I'm not even going to say the words on the show. They had to hear me a block away. I mean, and then you get that nice blood blister down there when you snap the skin like that. So that's the kind of night it was. But you know what? It all pans out in the end, man, because that hand hurt like hell. So every time I'm picking a plate up to put it on, I'm like, damn it, man, son of a, you know, it's like that. But you know what? It's all that stuff that we're dealing with. You know, this is why you and I can sit down and do a show like this, because we've done it, we lived it, and we're going to keep living it. There's going to be more bumps in the road and abysses to hit and all that. And you know what? There was a time when I didn't want it, but I welcome it now. I welcome you to take me and throttle me, man, and see if I can come back and complete the whole show and then we come back again and again. And you think about how many hours we've put into this stuff, how many days, how many decades, how much longer are we going to go? You know what I mean? And to be able to still do this stuff. And then when you get some 25-year-old kid that'll come here and he'll say, well, I tried a lot of things, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, Bud Jeffries was on here the other day, and this was, you'll laugh. I haven't put the show up yet. You know, he gets a lot of bullshit from people for what he does, okay? Because obviously it's a lot different than a lot of things that people are doing out there. And he was doing the old style, whatever you want to call it. You know, like in the days of the bent press overhead. So, you know, like Serge Redding, all these guys.
Absolutely. And
I had to laugh. This kid's 16 years old, and he's telling Buddy he doesn't know how to press.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I guess he looked like he's like a twig. And this is what you get from everybody. It's like, and we were laughing because I used to always say when we were kids, we used to crack up because the big joke was, the guys would have huge arms, huge pecs, but they had chicken legs.
Right.
We used to always say, you'd be better off walking on your hands because you'd look better. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, this is kind of like what, you know, the norm wants to come up against, like the guys that belong out in the woods training pretty much. And they've never done any time. They're really quick, you know, quick on the draw. And they have no substance. And it's like, let me tell you something, man. When you can go out in 100-degree weather, as you well know, like myself, and you can go out there and get throttled, man, and literally, whether you're on your knees or whatever, come back, you know, day after day, eat all the strife and the struggle and still do it, no one's got anything to say to you. And that's why I say, you know, we're going to be dropping the hammer on ourselves, I believe, for a few more decades at least. I mean, my goal has been to squat 250 at 100 years old. So I guess I'm going to be dropping some big hammers on me for a long time, you know?
Well, the only thing you got to do is stay healthy and just don't quit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's totally. That's it. Just, you know, just don't quit. Louis Simmons, I mean, you can say as much crap as you want to about him. I sure as heck have. But, you know, the guy plans on being top 50 in the world across 5 decades of powerlifting.
Yeah, which is incredible.
It's insane. Being top 50 is not incredible. It's good, but it's not incredible. But to be top 50 across 5 decades is phenomenal. It's never been done before. So, you know, you can say whatever you want to about the guy, but 50 years of competing and remaining in the top 50 all 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, there's something to that. So, you know, and I see, I am that dad that, you know, I've been picking my son up from school since he was 2.
Yep.
And he's 8 now. And I've always, since day one, stayed after school, and we play for anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour. And, you know, I show up with the soccer ball. So whatever kids are staying after school waiting for their parents, I'm the dad with, you know, the bottled water for his son, and I've got the soccer ball for all the kids to play with. So
sure.
I've watched all the kids all these years, you know, start with playing tag, you're it, and hide and seek, you know, and my son's getting more into soccer now. But it's getting down to where most of these kids at age 8, they've quit.
Yeah.
They don't want to play tag anymore. And it's not because tag is childish, because I'm 38 years old, and I would play tag with you right now. You know,
I would too. You know what else I would do? I'd be waiting for you some night to come out, and I'd load water balloons and throw them.
Absolutely. It never gets old. With soccer now, my son is down to playing with the older kids, because the kids his age have already quit. They've played on the playground so many times and lost and sucked that it's just, you know, they want to quit. And my son loses all the time. But it's just we're not gonna quit. Which is, you know, losing's fine. Just keep playing. You know?
Yeah, but having your wife and you around, he's been very fortunate. He might not realize it yet, but as he gets a little older, he's had not only a good family structure, but he's had that athletic, physical structure around. I mean, just think, you know, like your little boy now. I mean, he's pulling all that stuff in, whatever's going on there. You know, if he sees you lifting, or your wife, or both of you, or whatever like that, he's processing that. He might not be able to express it right now. It's the same way with your older son. That young man has now seen a ton. He still sees it. He's processing it. You don't know eventually. That's why I always say, you know, during the show at the end, you know, if someone seeks you out, never be afraid to give them some inspiration, some passion. Just a little, you know, words can measure up to monster things. And it's like, you don't know where these kids are going. And it's a damn shame. You know, you see it over here so much, and you're right. 8 years old, they quit. Or it's not how they like it, and they start crying and throw a tantrum. And, you know, mommy and daddy, everything's all right. I'll take you out and buy you a Happy Meal, and everything's okay.
But adult,
you know,
adults quit too, man.
They're worse.
I can't. Yeah. It's just adults will quit, but there's, I mean, we have nobody to answer to.
No.
You know?
And you know
we
what?
Just silently stop. I have a good friend of mine, teaches karate classes. And he messages, he calls me every once in a while, and he wants to know, you know, stuff about business and how to teach and the kids he's dealing with. He's got a problem just for a little bit of advice. And he mentioned the other day, he said, you know, these kids, he said he saw a father and son in the parking lot of McDonald's or Wendy's or something. And he said, hey, you know, where have you been? We haven't seen you in class in 3 weeks. He said, oh, you know, my son's going to take a break right now and focus on school.
Yeah,
you know, but we might be back in a couple of months, but he's going to focus on school right now. And he's like, what is it? I said, look, all kids and parents, they focus on school no matter what. If you're a kid and you're going to school, that's the majority of your time you're focused on school. First of all, kids don't quit karate. Parents quit karate.
You got it.
I mean, it's hard. You know, even like on Wednesdays, my son has soccer practice. I've got to hurry up, get him home. He's got to get all of his changes, clothes. We've got to eat. He's got to finish his homework. I've got to, you know, get all my gym stuff ready, get out the door, get him to practice before it starts, get to the gym. Who's going to pick him up? It's hard. You know, it's not easy. But, you know, if I'm going to quit, I can't say, well, my son's going to focus on school for a little while.
Exactly.
You know, and the first time your training gets hard, you can't just quit, man. You know, step back and get smarter.
What are you teaching them too? When things get hard, quit. I mean, that's what, you know, anybody that's doing that, they're, you know, look at, as my dad always said, you know, lead by example. And you know something, there's so much to it, because once you make a career out of quitting, it's over, man. And people just don't understand, you know, what this can do to you. And these things, you know, they talk about game changers. I'll say that and stuff like this. This can ruin you for the rest of your life. And people don't look at it in that way, but I'm telling you right now, you're doing more damage to yourself by quitting instead of staying into it than anything you could ever do. And you know what? Quitters are quitters. I mean, you know, what do you want to hang around with? Winners or quitters? You know, that's the whole thing. You know, winners win, quitters quit, and that's the end of you. And we're suffering right now all over the world from this. With this mentality, this you know, if it doesn't go my way, guess what? I'm all done with it. And
see, man,
anybody's
I really think it's you got to have that you've got to have those two things that you have, man. You've got to have that split personality that can separate the way you think in normal life from the way you think on the field or at business or when you're planning your marriage or when you're planning your program or when you're playing the game. You've got to have that second, and then you got to have the faith that I am going to get better, you know.
Yeah.
Here I am. I've been training for weightlifting hard for almost 4 years, and I mean, I have an IWF certified, a Laco barbell, bumper plates, platform, the shoes, the everything. Been to Europeans twice, Worlds twice. You know, we've done absolutely everything that can possibly be done. But you know how many times the first 2 years or 3 years of training, people either told me to my face or they posted on Facebook or on YouTube, man, why don't you just quit? You're really, really bad. You literally need to just quit. You are so bad. Not for 3 months or a month. I didn't go take a class and someone said, look, you have no talent. This isn't the right sport for you. This was 3 years. And if you watch my videos on YouTube now, people are finally commenting. And I'm 4 years into being stupid about the sport. Yeah, people are finally commenting, man, your technique is getting better.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I, in here, I, it's not good. It's not good, but it's better. So yep. Imagine where it's going to be in another 4 years.
Absolutely.
You know, but if I would have listened to the people to my face and all the people who posted on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else that just said, seriously, man, I'm being honest with you, Clint. You need to yeah. you need to quit. This isn't for you.
Yep.
You know, then who knows, man? I may be a world champion when I'm 60 years old, but I would have absolutely. Never found that out if I would have quit when I was 35, when everyone told me to quit.
And you know what it is, too? A big thing about all that is there's just a lot of people that are jealous or know that they couldn't do it or don't even have the ball sack to do it. And they go after somebody. We'll use you as an example. But you've been a very successful athlete. But they figure, hey, you know what? He might not be able to do everything. So let's drop the hammer on him right now and see how he deals with it. And see, like you said, you got to have that split personality because you've built so much confidence and self-confidence in your life so many years. Yeah, I'll be the first to admit, there's days like anybody, and anybody that tells me they don't doesn't have a clue to life. There's days I second-guess myself. There's days I second-guess myself with the businesses. Am I doing the right thing here? Did I make the right move? Well, you know something? It's too damn late to turn back now. And it's like, when you get that little bit of shake with me, anything like that, it makes me even get more aggressive and hungry because I don't like anything like that creeping into me. But you know what? You're a human being. This stuff happens, and that's the way it is. And if you can't face the reality of things, they're not always going to be perfect for you. You know, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you better hide underneath your bed and knock them out because life is going to throw you thrill after thrill after thrill, and it's also going to throw cement blocks at you too. And if you don't duck, you're going to get hit right across the head with one. And sometimes, I hate to say this, some people need to get hit in the head with a cement block. And I'm saying that figuratively, not literally. I mean, I know some people I'd like to hit with a block, but you know,
they need to get hit to realize that it's not over. You can still go. There's a new Facebook page, and I can't remember the name. If I could remember it, I would tell you. But all they do is they post point karate fights from, which is what I used to do. I used to be a sport karate fighter, and they're posting like the hardest hitting fights of all times. And so many of these videos that they posted the last weeks that they've been up has been of the same guy, just a same guy fighting for the last 15 years. And I just mean, you know, one whole video was nothing but nose breaks. And people used to make fun of us and say, oh, you guys are just tapping each other. You know what? You've never been in the ring with one of us. You know, we've got 3.5 ounce gloves on. That does nothing but protect my knuckles so I can hit you harder. You know, that's all it does. But I picked up on this trend, and I'm like, you know, somebody mentioned, you know, hey, Brian Ruth is in the majority of these hard-hitting videos.
Yep.
And I'm going back, and I'm, you know what? Brian Ruth was my coach. We were in the same division. He was ranked number one. I was ranked number two for probably 8 years straight. And someone commented, man, I would hate to get in the ring with him. And I'm like, well, imagine 6 days a week you went to class, and all you did was put on the gloves, and the only person there to fight was you and him. 6 days a week for almost a decade.
Yep.
And I got hit like that hard every single time. I was 11 and 12. He broke my nose and he knocked me out at 12 years old.
Yep.
You know, and at different occasions, not on the same hit. So and this was in class. This was in practice. You know, so we killed each other in class. We got to the tournament and didn't talk to each other, and then we always end up facing each other first and second.
Yep.
But when we got to the tournament, it was the easiest fights we had had since the last tournament.
Sure.
You know, but I had to go in there and I'm not afraid to get hit anymore. I don't like getting hit anymore, but I'm not afraid. You know, I've learned I can get hit. I'm going to bruise a fat lip. I'm going to bleed, but I'm going to live. You know, my nose isn't straight anymore, but I'm going to live. I'm not going to be in any beauty contest anytime soon.
No, that's all right. I mean, you know, hey, but the bottom line is you got over that fear. You got, you know, there was something in your way and you had to conquer it. And sometimes things are going to become very hard and this is what I always say. You know, it's a typical answer back, but it does separate the boys from the men. I mean, you got to decide at some point, when are you going to put the big boy pants on and cut the shit, period? When are you going to cut off from it? And one of the biggest things I've seen especially is, like, you know, when you're out and about and you're looking around and you're looking at things and you're, and, you know, guys, I'm always looking at, you know, you see all these different, I'll put it this way. What makes me laugh more than ever now, and I don't know what you've got there, but I'm sure it's quite a bit the same. You see all these dudes walking with their chest puffed out. They walk like they've got lats the size of the moon under each arm. And you know, you look at them, and you and I both know the best way to judge somebody with anything with that are three factors I always look at. Neck and the hands and wrist with one piece. And the third piece is, what do they look like from the side when I look at them? Now, the majority of them, Clint.
If you couldn't hit them with a 12-gauge shotgun from 20 yards when they turn sideways, they're not thick enough.
No, not at all. And you know what? The thing is, they all walk around like a bunch of bullies and things of that nature. I'm saying to myself, you know something? I can't remember. Oh, it was in the first Rocky. I always think of this when I see him like that, too. Yeah. Like Mickey said, you know, when he went to Mick and when he had that big skirmish in there, and it was like, you could have been a great fighter, but you wanted to become a leg breaker. And he's like, it's a living, and he's like, it's a waste of life, like that. And then he says to, you know, Rocky, you know, you should just thank God you never had your nose broken. And I always think about that when I see these guys, when they're walking around and they think they're king shit and they never put anything into anything. And they're the ones that like to pick the fights and cause the problems. And I just kind of laugh and snicker at it because it's like, you're not into this stuff. You never were. And anybody that's just going out and building their chest and puffing it out and walking around with a shirt that is two sizes too small for him, you gotta let. I mean, I almost pity him. It's so damn funny. You know what I mean? But, you know, we come from such a different way of life with training and stuff. And I get the whole deal. You know, it's most guys started training to get girls. Right. You know, that's usually the gig. You know, who's going to deny that? But once you stick your feet in the quicksand, you got a choice. You're going to pull yourself out, or you're going to keep sinking to the point where you're no longer seen.
Absolutely.
And that's how I looked at so much of that stuff. It was like always stepping into the ring of quicksand. And it's like, what are we going to do? I had a buddy of mine over here the other night. You'll love this. And, you know, he was watching me lift the barrels and stuff. And he says, I got a good idea. Now, this is a guy that does a lot of welding for me, my buddy Alex. Real strong guy. I mean, you know, wrenches his whole life. He's got hands on him. He's got those ham hands. I'm telling you right now, he could hurt. I mean, he's not a weightlifter, but he's a guy that, you know, lifts back ends of cars and all that shit, okay?
Right.
So he says to me, I got a great idea, man. I'm like, what? He goes, let's dump some gasoline in the barrels when you're lifting it and light it. I was like, really? He goes, yeah, we lift with flames. I didn't do it, but you know what I mean?
But that's you like, thought about it.
Absolutely, but that's like the mentality around here. It's like, okay, what are we going to do to top the next thing? You know, so, you know, when we get in these situations and we've got to do drastic things, or all we do is like one lift, or, you know, we take time off, or we sit there and formulate things, or we become the harshest critic on ourselves. Because I'll ask you this. I think, in my opinion, I'm very harsh on myself. At times, the dialogue I have with myself, I wouldn't want anybody to even hear it.
Right.
I mean, literally, I am so hard on myself. And that's because I care so much. Do you get into that, those moods like me like that at times?
Oh, absolutely. I think anybody worth a darn, I mean, it gets like that.
Yeah.
I'm not where I should be. Why not? I've worked hard, or I haven't worked hard enough. Why haven't I worked hard enough? You don't have what it takes inside. You know, I've got these little voices that talk back and forth all the time. and that's why I edit my training videos so highly, is because if you heard all the talking that I did between every set, it would probably blow your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was... One night my sister came here. Now, I tell everybody the driveway's 95 feet. Usually there's something blasting out of the garage. But I must not have had anything on that night. And she said to me, she walked back because she was stopping by to pick something up. And she says to me, "Who are you talking to? I can hear all this screaming." I said, "Me and my buddy." She goes, "Who's your buddy?" I said, "My twin next to me that basically is invisible." And she's like, she says to me like this, she goes, "You're effed up." And she walked out of the room. That was it, man. And I was like, hey, whatever it takes to get it done, man, whatever it takes. I don't expect people to understand what we do in some light. And I don't expect people to want to go that extra mile where basically we're going to let the last drop of blood drain out of us to get this done. I got it. And I understand why a lot of them don't get it and are afraid of it. But I'm telling you right now, once you step into that quicksand, you're going to understand what we're talking about here.
Right.
It's an honor to do this. It's an honor to be associated with everybody here on the show and people I've met outside. I can't tell you, man, you know, life has been good to me. Life has given me things that I never would have got without weightlifting. Go ahead, man. Thank you.
Oh, no, man, I'm just listening.
Well, you know what I mean? It's when you understand things, and I don't understand everything by any means, but I do feel at times I've got a foothold on things better than I ever do. And when I do, you know, we talked about, well, what do we got to do when we got to drop the hammer? Well, let me tell you, what do I do when I'm doing well? I'm enjoying it. I'm passing it on. Like when I was telling you about the barrels and all that stuff. That brings me great pleasure to tell people about that, and not in a bragging right either, but it's like, well, maybe Clint will like it so much, maybe he'll go out and get 2 55-gallon drums, you know, have somebody cut the holes in it, put the fat pipe through it, and man, he goes bananas with any bar he wants through it, and just has a time of his life and makes gains and feels powerful, and as Dr. Ken used to say, you're walking strong all the time. That's what it's about, man. It's not like, okay, I can lift. All right, yeah, you can lift more of me. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Good for you, all right? But I'll lift what I want to lift, and I'll lift the way I want to lift, and that's just the way it is. It makes me happy. It makes me proud. It makes me feel like I'm somebody. It makes me feel like, okay, this is what you built. This is what you are. This is what you designed. And what things out in the world afford you that other – there's only one thing that's better than weightlifting, and that's love. That's it. Having somebody that gives a shit about you when you come home, you know, they acknowledge you. They think of you. They want you around. And obviously, I don't have any children, but children, I'm sure. I've got friends, my family. You know, I just know having nieces and nephews, it's the nicest thing to have them up and just hug you and tell you, you know, I'm glad to see you, or you want to go out and play ball. Little things like that all measure up into big things, and they enhance your life. And I always promised, my grandmother was a big influence on us, and, you know, being in her 50s and 40s and early 60s, you know, never shied away from the grandkids. She loved her grandkids, and always never acted like an older person with us. Always gave us time, always acknowledged us, and I do the same thing with all the kids. It's very important to have that, and I feel that if anything, when I'm gone or get older, they're always going to remember that their uncle never pushed them aside, you know, to go up and sit with the adults and have cocktails. I could care less. All right, my duty now and my obligation is to pass on anything I can to them, play any sports they want to play, go for a drive with them, or take them out to a Tollgate and get the best chocolate ball in the world. That's what it is. That's what all this stuff in the gym has done for me. It's created, like you said, that split personality that can travel straight down the road, take the fork and go, one go left and one go right. That's it with me. Go ahead.
You know, if you go left long enough, eventually you'll be on the right side.
Yeah, depending where I end up, right?
Exactly. You may cross a lot of places before you get all the way back over to the right side, but if you just keep going left, you will eventually get back over to the right.
Tell me this, man, no matter what, is life great or what? It really, really is. I mean, I'm looking out the window right now. It's going to be a cool night to go out and train in. The sky is bright blue. The trees are, you know, a lot of wind going on. Nice cool breeze through the air. And you know what, man? I'm going to get the honor going out tonight and doing some lifting. You know, going out and doing, glued hams and one-sided thick bar dead stop squats. And some heavy neck work and some heavy calf work and some heavy hand and wrist work, you know. Grab your hands around that 3-inch handle and squeeze it till they're going to burst. I mean, what is it that's bad about the other?
It is midnight here, and I've got my gym bag already packed to go snatch tomorrow.
That's awesome, dude. See, and you know what that is? That's that little kid mentality too, man. You never got rid of it. You know, we were talking about pulling pranks and throwing water balloons and doing all kinds of crazy shit. You know something? I never want to outgrow it, and I used to love it when girls would say to me, "You'd be dating, you're immature." I was like, "Thank you."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to grow up to be some sour ass like you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I just think that's it. You got anything else?
I'm good, man. I can't wait to get back on here.
Well, I've already got a date for you, so we'll talk after the show. But I've got a July date all set up for you, and we'll get you back on. Why don't you give out any of your information, obviously, anything with a website. Let me give my information. If you just hang on the line for a moment, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, ClintDarden.com. Find me at EliteFTS.com. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, or the Googles. And don't forget, the answer is to have a split personality and a whole lot of faith.
That's beautiful, though, man. They go together. Faith and a split personality. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Also, Athlete's Choice, Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period. SANTANGELO, period, 75. Also, too, the Bull Moose Bar, go out to AtomicAthletic.com. It's on sale for $269. Till June 13th, and like I said, it's 58 pounds, and it's 84 7/16 in length. It's a beautiful bar. I love it, and I'm going to get some use out of it tonight. Also, too, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Free book. Like, you like what we talk about here, you got 10 paragraphs of it. Go out and do something with it. That's all I can tell you. Also, too, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. Take a look at them. I'm telling you right now, they are game changers. Everything is done out in the yard, everything in the garage. Nobody writes our content, and nobody does our work, and that's what I love most of all. Fiorello Barbell at FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. If there's a show you like Clint and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Everybody has. I thank you for that. Also, too, I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of encouragement or, you know, anything, man. Anything to make them feel like they are productive. It will work. So go out and do that. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to give somebody, you know, a smile or hello, because you never know, you know, what people are going through, and it's a great thing to do. So, you know, it's important. And next, if you're going to go out and lift, obviously, lift, bend, break, push, press, pull, squat, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. We love that. Also, too, as the Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination, and we clear the path. We don't follow anyone's. And I'm telling you right now, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. When you dominate whatever you do. When you obliterate your goals, you're on to the next one. And obviously, lay a big dent. We talked about that today. When you're having tough times, dent the living crap out of it and let it know you're coming back another day to take it. And obviously, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, has been listening to the show from the beginning. When I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. I thank you for that, Russell, and we'll say that for the next 30 years. And just a short note, Russell will be on here Saturday, and we're going to do a beginning power rack program because that's what turned him on to weightlifting, listening to the show and learning how to do things. He'd gone to a gym for years and just bumped his head around, and we couldn't be happier to have him with us. So look forward to talking to you, Russell. Clint Darden, what can I tell you, man? Me and you, we should be neighbors.
Can't wait. Move on over, man.
I'll tell you, who knows, man? I can end up on your door next year to say hello, but we'll see what happens next door or next year. Before we sign off, obviously, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road. Obviously, tell 100 of your friends or we are coming for you. Clint, thanks for being on. It was great.
Always a pleasure, man.
Yes, sir. So for Clint Darden, this is Eric Fiorello. Clint will be on in July with us, and we'll get this show up as fast as we humanly can. Have a great week, everybody, and like I said, we will talk soon. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.